Hashtag Moledge Podcast, live from the state capitol during veto session. We're joined by, right here in the office actually, very glad to be hosted by Representative Tim Remley. Sir, thank you very much for being on.
Oh, you bet.
Alex Eaton, lobbyist extraordinaire, master of the capitol, I would say the knight of the rotunda, as many folks have quoted. Good to have you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Let's jump right into it. We do this every week. First of all, we always want to start off by thanking our sponsors, the St. Louis Chamber of Commerce, along with the Carpenters Union and Republic Services. They help bring us the poll. They help bring us the podcast. We're very grateful to them. Then let's talk about the poll. We start off with the governor's race. Every week, we bring you the latest on the governor's race. This week, no different. It's actually got a little bit, the lead for Koster's grown a little bit. He's at 49-41 with 8% undecided. I don't know, Representative, is this reflective of the NRA endorsement?
I think that probably does have something to do with it. I really do. And as the campaign moves on, we'll just see what, you know, anything right now can happen at this point.
So in your neck of the woods, do you hear a lot of buzz about Greitens? I mean, he has this resume that's stellar. But, you know, he's been a little less than charitable about you and folks in the legislature. I wonder, does that make Republicans a little bit harder? First, he's a newcomer, and does it make it a little bit harder, some of the things he said about the party in Jefferson City?
Well, I think it did have a little bit of a negative impact, but at the same time, we're uniting as far as that goes. But our district is, was very much in favor of Greitens, and I don't see those numbers dwindling at all, really.
I think it's interesting. I've always kind of felt, Alex, you've worked on campaigns and seen a lot of them. I would say 8% is probably as big as the lead gets for either side. I wouldn't think that Eric Greitens would ever be more than 8 points up on Koster. I'm a little surprised to see Koster up this much, and I would say by the time we do maybe one or two more polls, you'll see the full push of Eric Greitens' television likely be enforced, and I would say the 8-point lead is the largest we'll see.
Oh, I say that's safe to say. I think it's right after the primary, 8 points is pretty wide, and I think as we get into the major push, that'll shrink and get tighter as it gets closer. But I mean, if it swings Greitens 8 points, then there's going to be a huge Republican wave, and I just don't see that happening.
Representative, you're the person that's actually ran for office. It looks to me like all over the country, Republicans have picked up a record number of state house seats, basically tying folks to Obama, calling Democrats liberals. That's been effective all over the country. And in Missouri, you're a member of a supermajority, the first Republican supermajority ever. Do you think it's harder to tie that to Greitens for Greitens to tie that to Koster when he has the NRA, when he has Farm Bureau, when he has all the ag groups, the folks that support you?
Well, you know, I know that has played well for Koster and will. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but we have to think of the fact that, you know, Greitens right now, it has no voting record. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes into play quite a bit. And right now, this anti-sentiment against anyone in office, you know, right mm-hmm. now. Yeah, outsiders, you know, you look at even Trump's race, you know, how that's kind of playing out for him. You know, a lot of voters are liking those outsiders. And I just think that we need, you know, Greitens needs to focus in on what he's going to do as governor.
And Alex Eaton, what's he said he's going to do as governor? I've heard right to work. That's about it.
Yeah, I think right to work, you've seen business groups support Eric Greitens for his position on right to work. And beyond that, I'm not really sure if there's been a policy position that he's pushed that he's been vocal about.
Representative, you deal in policy. You're known for being someone that passes legislation as a serious policymaker. Would you advise Eric Greitens now to come out with some actual things, like what he thinks the state's tax rate should be, things like that? Or do you think it's better off just to not get it specific about anything and try to play the outsider angle all the way through November?
Well, I actually think that, you know, people are expecting him to come out a little bit and say what he's going to do as governor. And I think that played well for him. One of the things that hurt our economy and stuff is regulation. That's what I've stood for is against unneeded regulation. I think there needs to be a certain amount of regulation, but when it gets started hurting our economy, our businesses, and the people of the state, that plays well with the people, and we need to mm-hmm. send that message out that, you know, we're we aren't just going to say, you know, I'm an outsider, but yet what am I going to do to prove that, you know, I'm going to work on regulations that's, you know, unneeded, you know, vet those regulations and making sure that it's not burdensome if they're not needed.
Alex Eden, you've worked in and around the Capitol. There was a dust-up where Ron Richard kind of took Eric Greitens to task. There's a fund that lobbyists pay into. They pay it. It's ran by the Senate Administrator, nonpartisan position. It's food for the staff. Like we're here at the State Capitol right now at 10 after 6, and, you know, it makes sense if you're going to have staff there working at any job to have them pay dinner. Eric Greitens, campaign manager, said it was corrupt cronyism, and Ron Richard called him a test and said they'd learn a little bit about the Senate before they go spouting off.
Yeah, I think it was a smart move by Senator Richard for standing up for the Senate. I'm a former Senate staffer, so I understand there are nights you work super late. And, you know, I think that fund was created not as a way to cronyism or anything like that, but I think it was smart for Senator Richard to come out and defend his guys and the staff of the Senate to say, you know, before you criticize what we do here, you know, give us a phone call and talk to us without just, you know, saying the whole town's corrupt and everything else, and this is a perfect example of it. So I think he did the right thing.
Representative Rimley, you're someone that knows Ron Richard. He's not the person to try to score cheap shots off of. He's probably not right. The one that's going to give you cheap points. He's going to say what's on his mind.
Right, that's true.
And I think at veto session, he's been pretty widely praised for sticking up for the Senate. And hey, if there's a better way to do it, but I mean, the alternative is to have taxpayers fund those food dinners. And I think if you ask most taxpayers, they just soon have somebody else pay for that as besides them, right?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a right solution for it, but I think he did the right thing to, you know, defend his colleagues and the Senate staffers that put in long hours and work hard, and it's not a normal 8-to-5 job.
Let's move on to the poll, again brought to you by Republic Services. The Carpenters Union and the St. Louis Chamber of Commerce want to thank them very much for making this polling information possible and this podcast possible. Also, Representative Rimley for hosting us here in the state capitol this week. The race for lieutenant governor showed Russ Carnahan up 44-40 over Mike Parson, a good chunk of undecided voters. I have to admit, I suspected Russ Carnahan might be up a little bit more. Representative, your neck of the woods, the Carnahan has to be remembered. That's a name that Missourians know.
Yeah, and it is, but I tell you, Mike Parsons, you know, is really holding our area pretty strongly, and we just, you know, Mike has been a true patriot down through the years, and that's the way our, now I know in my district, that's the way they look at him. You know, there's Parsons signs all over the place, really, in the rural areas.
Yeah, Alex Eden, I mean, there, if you're in rural Missouri, and your livelihood's anyway tied to agriculture, you have to have, you owe a debt of gratitude to Mike Parson, right?
Oh, absolutely. I worked for Senator Parson. There's not going to be anyone that works harder on this race. So I would assume 4 points with the Carnahan name. I think Senator Parson has to be happy with that. And as it tightens, Russ Carnahan has a pretty bad record from D.C., so I think that'll tighten, and we'll see.
Will Mike Parson have the money, though, to tell people about that record?
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. Mike can raise money across the state. He's proven that, and I think there'll – I don't see him struggling.
I think if they lose this race by 4 points or less, people look to the primary and be like, you know, if Mike Parson wouldn't have had to spend $1 million in the primary, he probably is lieutenant governor.
I think one thing we need to realize is the lieutenant governor, you know, people might say that that's just a veterans and senior position, but they're the president of the Senate, and I'm not sure if the supermajority really wants Russ Carnahan on the dais. So, Senate, you know.
We don't know with Joel Maxwell. In the Senate, the chair has some power. Yeah. You could imagine a Senate with Scott Sifton in it, three new senators. If Representative Weber becomes a senator, you'd have Rizzo, Weber, and Hummel. Combined with Senator Holzman, and I mean, you're putting together a formidable team. Senator Shoup, Senator Wallace, Jamila, Senator Chappelle Nadal, Kiki Curls. That's you now have a lot of the youth on the side of the Democrats, and you put the chair there. I mean, I think it's I think it makes a difference.
That's a very important point.
Move on and talk about the state treasurer's race. Judy Baker sits on 37%. Senator Schmidt at 48%. The undecided at 15%. If you're Senator Schmidt, you got to like those numbers.
Yeah, I think I really am very confident he's going to run a very good, positive campaign, and that we're going to. I expect some good things out of that race. And one thing I would like to just briefly touch on, you know, Mike has been a proven leader mm-hmm. in our rural areas, Parsons, and I think that's going to play well for him. And he's been a proven person, and Schmidt, he's been really successful, and I think he'll have a good chance.
When Mike Parsons stands in front of a hay bale, it looks like he's done it before.
Yeah,
it doesn't look
for him. He has.
And he has.
With Senator Schmidt, though, the reason this race is where it's at is he's about where you would expect a Republican to be in in Kansas City, Springfield, Mid Missouri. Where he's doing very well is in St. Louis. He's tied Judy Baker in the St. Louis media market. For a Republican, that's unheard of, and I think that's where the 11-point advantage comes in. Can she close the gap? I mean, I think if you're a Republican right now, you want her to have to be in the spot where he has $4 million, roughly. He's on the track for $4 million. She's on track for maybe $600,000, $700,000. You probably can't spend that to make up 11 points. If you have to move up in St. Louis, it's the most expensive media to buy.
Yeah, I mean, I think the money advantage is huge here. Senator Schmidt didn't have a primary, and he's been stockpiling money, so he's doing very well right now.
And I think if you had to make up ground, if let's say Judy Baker was off in Springfield or the Cape Girardeau media market, that's one thing. Even the Columbia media market, a little more expensive. That St. Louis television, it's very expensive. And I think one thing Senator Schmidt's done throughout his Senate career has been highly visible in the St. Louis media, and I would say the name ID has to be part of that, right?
Right. It will have. And like you say, money is amazing how that has to be. It's a key element in it.
So let's do some quick predictions here. Where does the governor's race end up? I'll be the first one to cast my lot out there. I'm going to say, if I had to guess right now, by the time the media hits, it might be a Koster plus two. When you factor in the money that's probably spent on both sides and the messaging, what do you think, Representative?
It's going to be a definitely close race.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the messaging from Greitens is going to play a big part. Yeah, I think he's going to have to do more on messaging and get a more positive thing out there. And, I think the legislators are starting to rally behind him. I think what he said something about us being so corrupt down here.
Mm-hmm.
I think he needs to work on that a little bit. I really do, because
I thought that was over, and then he hits the Senate fund and kind of rips the scab off.
Well,
that kind of went away, and it popped back up. So.
Yeah, and so I think if he gets on a positive note and realizes that there's a lot, most of the legislature down here really is working hard. And we try to do a good job for the people. And Jeff City is not a corrupt place.
No, I agree with that. Alex Eden, what do you think the race ends up?
I think it'll end Koster plus three. I just think it'll tighten. Greitens is going to have a lot of money. I think Trump, if he maintains a 7-9 point lead, that's going to help him a lot, and it's going to narrow it. It might get down to one or two, but I'll say Koster plus three.
Let's talk about the state treasurer's race. I would say whatever Trump does, Schmidt probably is 2 points over that, whatever that number is. Let's say it's plus five. He might outperform by 1 or 2 points because of the strength of the St. Louis media market. What do you think, Representative?
Yeah, I was looking at. Excuse me here. What was that?
On the state treasurer's race. What do you think that ends up? Right now, it's 48-37 Schmidt. I think Democrats will come home to a certain extent for Judy Baker.
I really think that Schmidt will be up front, though.
Lieutenant Governor's race. I think that is a tough race. I don't think Russ Carnahan can win without Koster winning. Mm-hmm. And I think that will be a very close race. But to me, if you're a Democrat and you're looking at the down-ballot races, that has got to be the race you think you can win.
Oh, I would think so. I mean, if you can't win with a Carnahan name, then it's going to be a massive wave.
And Missourians like names they know. They like families and folks that I think that name is very tough. If there's somebody that can beat it, it's Mike Parson.
Yeah, and I think Mike, as he commented earlier, Mike's a hard worker, and he just is relentless on getting out there. And I think he's doing a good job on that, but I think it's going to be a close race.
Let's always want to thank our sponsor on the hashtag MoLedge podcast, Republic Services, the Carpenters Union, the St. Louis Chamber of Commerce. I want to thank them for their help with the poll. I want to thank them for their sponsoring this podcast. Let's talk veto session. Representative, you had a bill that's moving on the Water Commission. Can you give us the cliff notes of what it's about?
Well, you know, 1713 started out, first of all, as a wastewater bill. And, you know, and that was where requiring the DNR to let communities use biological methods that the technology is just fantastic in that. The regulations that we're seeing coming down from the DNR on the wastewater has been so burdensome for our rural communities, especially. They're going in debt by millions of dollars. And biologicals are an amazing technology that's actually clean, giving out clean water, safe water. And
why did the governor veto it?
Well, that's what I was going to get to. He was for that part, and but the part he didn't like was the changing of the Clean Water Commission. And that was the commission is made up of 7 members, and the way it currently is, you could only have 2 members from industry and ag and mining. And that's in the statute that way. So ag, which is our number one industry, and our industry and mining, the Missouri has really went fell off. Mm-hmm. But as far as the industry, you know, that's for businesses and things. So I felt as Senator Munslinger put that amendment on to change the commission where there could be more representation, but it's not requiring them all to be from ag, and that's what they had put out there, that's going to require more people from ag. But the governor still appoints anyone he wants, and it still has to be approved by the Senate. And so it just makes an even playing field. And, that, you know, originally it was supposed to be 2 from ag, 4 from the public, and then 1 from water background. And, you know, as we see regulations coming down on clean water, and that's what's really upset me, because the DNR actually, the permitting process in Missouri is so far behind other states. It takes 12 to 14 months for a lot of businesses to get a permit to be able to build and come to the state of Missouri, where other states are aggressive about getting companies in here, and they're getting permits within six months or 8 months. And so that's why I really stood behind this amendment, changing the Clean Water Commission, and because I can give you an example. We had a $165 million project that was coming to Moberly. It was a GAF project. It was a fantastic thing for our state, for our community. Governor Nixon even came and you know, touted how great it was going to be. 125 jobs, paying $58,000 a year. There was truck stops planned, businesses, people were already buying property, and it was just a great thing. And literally, the DNR told them that they were concerned about dust off of a forklift tire, because there's going to be 350 to 400 loads of...
It's amazing. You hear about the government regulations, and then when you really tie it to examples, I mean, my God, people that want tax cuts, Jim, sometimes they just want less government, too. We're talking about veto session. Let's talk about the voter ID bill. I have to say, I think that this is a hard thing for Democrats to argue against. In our society, you have to have an ID for almost everything.
Right.
And it's hard to say voting shouldn't be one of those. I'm sure there'll be some people that are forgetful once or twice and have to go back and get their ID. But it's hard to say that you shouldn't have to have an ID to vote if you have to have an ID for so many other things. It looks like that's going to become law now, Representative, right?
Yeah, and I think it's great. You know what? Voting is such an awesome thing, a privilege that we have. It's a right that the people have. And, you know, like you say, I have to show my ID for a number of things. And I go to the airport. You know, I've been in the airport quite a bit just lately. And I just tell you, you have to show an ID for everything. And, you know, why not voting? I mean, such a great thing, but it's also a serious thing, and we ought to be able to check those that are voting.
Alex Eden, what is the you listen to legislative debate all the time? Give me the best argument you've ever heard against voter ID.
I think probably the argument against it most is that it disenfranchises older citizens that may not have an ID because they don't drive anymore. But I think both sides have worked to try to make it as easy as possible. And I think there's going to be, there might be some that don't have an ID or don't have the documents that can get it.
So maybe the answer is to cut funding from DNR and give older folks an ID.
Well, I mean, I guess.
Here on the Hashtag Mortgage Podcast. One thing, it's very hard to say voter ID is not needed when you see what's happening in the 78th. I mean, I was pretty shocked from what I've seen of it. It didn't look like that anybody did anything much different than they always do in St. Louis. Just this time, the election got thrown out, I think, much to everyone's surprise. Give me a prediction. Do you think Penny Hubbard wins re-election on a Friday election?
You know what? There was a little discussion about that. The voters will be, not as many will be coming out for that election on a Friday.
It is the most bizarre thing. Folks have criticized, actually the police chiefs criticized the judicial system in the city of St. Louis. I guess to me, if you voted and you voted the right way and did everything right, it's hard for me to see that this system that they've used, I bet you if you use the same structure, you could challenge every election in the city of St. Louis for going back some time. I was very surprised that they had another election. I think the way they did it is bizarre at best. You would assume that the challenger is invigorated by this and probably has an advantage going into the election. Alex Zeedon, I know you have a lot of contacts in St. Louis. Who do you think wins?
I think it'll come down to turnout. And, I think in the primary, Representative Hubbard lost the regular vote and then won with absentees.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, I think it'll come down to turnout. And the Hubbard name, it's been around a while. So
you're predicting Hubbard? I don't know who wins. I think I have a high regard for the Hubbard family. I don't know. I think there may be something brewing with the challenger and the Bernie Sanders movement that does. I think I'll go against you. I'll predict the challenger has a good chance. But I will say this. I think there's the definite loser here is statewide Democrats, because a big part of city turnout is these absentee voting programs. And you start making it harder and harder for people to vote absentee in the city. The loser is going to be Chris Koster, Jason Kander, Russ Carnahan. Those folks, I think, are going to be much less likely to vote if they think that cops and the Post-Dispatch are going to be calling them. And I think you might see a big part of the urban turnout model, which is absentee voting, I think you might see that seriously repressed, which will only hurt Democrats, oddly enough.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. But you know what? It depends on the will of the people to vote. I mean, if they really want to voice their opinion on a candidate, get behind them, they'll find a way to vote.
I think also voter participation is down, and if you're going to be hassled by press or election authorities, whether you signed up for a voter or an absentee ballot, I mean that's. For some people, it's tough to work, 5 o'clock, go get kids and try to get to the polls before 7 p.m. And if you're going to get hassled or just feel like it's difficult, you may stay home.
And I think people, the other thing you forget is a lot of the places where there's a high absentee voter program are places where the government gives you arrest warrants for all sorts of things, grass and all sorts of speeding tickets. I think you have a lot of folks that don't view the government as a friendly vehicle. And I think they may just not want to waste time with it. I definitely think you would almost predict that voter turnout in some of these places in North City, North County, St. Louis goes down. I would almost think there has to be, and I think you'll have to chart it back. It's kind of interesting. Some of the Tea Party folks began to hurt Republicans at some point. They got so right-wing. Now you see the Bernie Sanders folks. I mean, they're as communist as you can get. Now they're beginning to hurt the actual Democrats. And it's an interesting phenomenon. Let's talk one more thing. We have the gun bill moving through the legislature. As we record this, I believe it's moving through the Senate. It looks to me like constitutional carry become law. Representative, why do you support it?
Well, I just feel it's a constitutional right. And I also, it's really not changing a whole lot as far as, because right now you can get a permit anyway. You can carry a gun. You can carry it openly. Let's say, for instance, if you're carrying a gun openly, it gets cold outside, and you throw a jacket over your, over it, and it's concealed, I mean, you're all of a sudden a criminal, even though you've got a gun legally. But that would be considered concealed. So open carry, you know, is law now. Someone could go purchase a gun. It doesn't change any of the laws of whether someone gets a gun or not. You still have to be a law-abiding citizen. It's just that's why I support it. I strongly feel it's a way that constitutional right.
Alex, do you think there's any more people will be shot in high crime areas, or any fewer people will be shot in low crime areas?
Oh, that's a tough question. I mean, I think those that want to carry a gun and believe in having guns. I think the most important thing is just training. And if you have a concealed carry or just open carry, I think in Missouri, this is going to pass and it's going to become law.
I think if there's a gun bill that is on the docket, the legislature's got a very good chance of passing.
I would say that's fair.
If I had, my prediction would be that this changes very little to nothing about anything as far as crime goes. And I think there are problems where places in the state where gun violence is a problem. My hunch is this doesn't change that for the better or the worse, and it probably doesn't change places in the state where gun violence is not a problem right now. I don't think you're going to see a rash of it starting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Look, a year from now, 2 years from now, if crime has gone down or crime has gone up, to see what happens. But
I think that a much better predictor of crime going up or down will be the economic condition of the state, more so than the access to guns. I just think folks...
It's a very fair point.
Folks buy guns for different reasons. And if you buy guns for reasons to probably be up to no good... Okay, whatever. This probably doesn't change much about your reasoning.
No, if you want a gun for no good, you're going to get a gun. So, I mean, I, this law is not going to change the intent if you're getting a gun for a bad reason.
Looking back on the roll of the week, looks to me like the hottest person in state politics might be Jay Barnes. Supported Eric Greitens, come in big. He won our version of the Scopes Monkey trial. For publicity sakes, with the Medicaid 23, it could have been any number of Marbury versus Madison, any number of cases, I think. And today, I believe some of the tort reform legislation he opposed did not get overridden. He's on a roll.
Yeah, he's had a good month. So I think he's one of the smartest legislators in the building, and he picks his spots, and he's had a good month.
He is the one legislator you really don't want inquiries from on the floor. Him and maybe Engler.
Absolutely, yes. He's proven that he can. He knows the issues and can debate.
Well, you've proven you know the issues. Alex Eaton, we'll thank Representative Tim Remley for having us in his office. Always want to thank Republic Services, the Carpenters Union, the St. Louis Chamber of Commerce. That's until next time. We'll see you back on the #MoLedge podcast. Thanks always for listening.